Yep. It's Big News Wednesday. Welcome, one and all, to a wonderful show with me, Johnny Rolla, and J.R. Jackson, legendary producer and now host, the watcher of the list. How's it going, JR?
It's going okay. It's fine. We're gonna get there. That's the best I can give you right now, Iderola.
Okay. I like your hat, by the way, the little Clippers hat. That's cool. It's like kind of got a little retro look to it.
Yeah, a bit of the throwback jersey look. The thing is last night my Clippers were eliminated from playoff contention in the first round. I'd say mostly due to the fact that their top two superstar players couldn't play. They're injured.
I've heard that will hurt you in terms of, if all the good people can't. But anyway, maybe they're just like gonna take off a little bit of time, wait until the new arena is built, and then bring it with the new digs.
Bad luck, bro. Guys get hurt, and they get hurt at the worst time. Kind of like all season is what it was.
Yeah. Well, that's about all the sports talk we'll probably have on today's program. At some point, if we burn through all the topics, maybe JR and I will talk about the WWE draft, which is coming up on Friday. But anyway, no, I'm kidding.
Don't you do it.
It's Big News Wednesday. Is there any bigger news than a new heavyweight title?
Did you see the news? Did you see what I didn't tell you yesterday?
Social break. We'll talk about it. Anyway, does the show just become a WWE show? It's the damage report, and people get damaged in the ring. Sorry, the squared circle. Anyway, we're gonna talk about some politics first, and we'll figure it out together, including an Oppo research dossier compiled against one Tucker Carlson. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Donald Trump is feeling so strong in his race against Ron DeSantis, except when it comes to debating him. We're gonna debate why that is. Debates will happen from now on TDR, but probably not in politics. And we've got a whole lot more besides, including yet more corruption in the Supreme Court that this time doesn't even involve Clarence Thomas, oddly enough. And the time has apparently come, we now learn, to arm the sentinels to protect America's children. We'll try to figure out what the hell that is going on a little bit later on. And coming up in the aftermath, and if you're on the podcast, The Linear Show, remember there is more to the show that you can watch live on YouTube or Twitch, or possibly watch the clips on YouTube. People are gunning for Lizzo's head, almost literally. And we'll be talking about Horizon Zero Dawn and how pathetic, homophobic men online are trying to wreck this game. All that and more coming up, but in anticipation of all that, please hit the like button and share the stream so the people know we're live. And if you want to reach out to JR or myself with breaking news, witty, incisive comments, and maybe even get yourself a Blue Apron gift card, you can send those in and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
I am. I'm just disappointed that you haven't seen Raw yet. I did watch it.
We'll talk about it. I watched the version, it's a little bit shorter. But anyway, we will talk about it during the break. And I will complain about which match they chose to cut. Anyway, with that said, let's get to the political news. Ooh, we got some drama over at Fox News. Tucker Carlson is, of course, now out. And there are a lot of people on the right saying, Tucker, don't go quietly into that good night. Fight against the dying of your fascism and homophobia. And don't worry if they have some sort of non-compete or whatever. You know what? Screw them. You're bigger than them, Tucker. But is he? And if he is bigger than them, if he strikes out against them, if he criticizes them, what might happen to him? Well, we're finding out now that apparently they have, like Batman with the Justice League, they've put together a file on him so they can destroy him if they need to. This is according to, and I've almost never heard this, I've never read this in reporting before, 8 sources. Did you need to look after 3 or 4? Did you need to keep getting more sources? But no, this is a very well-sourced bit of reporting. And not only are we gonna talk about this dossier, but also while they would have us believe in Fox that they parted amicably, abruptly with no final show. No, apparently the parting of the ways was, quote, the worst and the messiest possible terms. So this is all a lot of fun. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Apparently in the comms department at Fox News, they have a woman, Arena Briganti, apparently known to be a bit of a bulldog in destroying people when necessary, has assembled damaging information about Tucker Carlson. One source calls it an Oppo file. Two sources add that Fox is prepared to disclose some of its contents if execs suspect that Carlson is coming after the network. And what's maybe the most fascinating word there is not if he comes after them, but if they suspect that he's coming after them. What does that mean? Like, maybe even if he just launches his own thing, he's not criticizing them yet, but it's a platform where he would. I don't know. But anyway, here's an idea of what's in the Oppo file. It includes internal complaints regarding workplace conduct, disparaging comments about management and colleagues. I don't know exactly why that would hurt him, but okay. Allegations that the now former primetime host created a toxic work environment, according to three different sources. And I want you to bear in mind, we already know that this is true, or at least strongly alleged. He's facing a lawsuit from his former senior booking producer, Abby Grossberg, alleging a toxic and misogynistic workplace environment. The lawsuit details repeated instances of misogynistic behavior at the network, including frequent lewd and sexual discussions of female guests and public figures. Grossberg, quote, continued to endure a work environment that subjugates women based on vile sexist stereotypes, typecasts religious minorities and belittles their traditions, and demonstrates little to no regard for those suffering from mental illness. Now, I know many of you are going to say, isn't that the mission statement for Tucker Carlson's show? Yes, but apparently behind the scenes, it was even worse than on the air. And so they are technically, officially disputing that anything like this Oppo file exists, but it fits with what we are being told about Irina Bergante historically and how Fox News operates. JR, what do you think?
If only they had some sourcing for this, I'd be able to believe it. But until they get at least 10 sources, I don't think this is something that can fly. Yo, I was watching pieces of that Abby Grossberg interview. I think it's second or third one she's had now, but then this one with MSNBC. And yo, she's laying it out in complete detail, from the way they told her to even talk back and forth with the Maria Bartiromo stuff and reasons why she even took the job on Tucker's show, and then what she saw immediately, to then what's on a computer, to then what's asked to her about potential affairs. All this stuff that would be pretty hard to make up, and then have, as you pointed out, eight sources that are pointing out at least this Oppo research part about it. Which, another thing, when it comes to whether or not we're going to believe something, the fact that Fox News is reportedly has Oppo research on now a former host that was very powerful and wielded got a lot of attention and controlled their audience to a large degree, that is the most Fox News thing ever. This is absolutely, like, if someone said, so do you think that the Fox News executives or whoever else in charge potentially has some Oppo research on some hosts and producers, I'd be like, why are we asking this question? Of course they would. Yeah. This is exactly what they would do. They want to cover their asses. And what Grossberg, pointed out in that interview was the way that they start collecting people's cell phones, everything. The degree to which they want to cover their asses when it comes to potential backlash over the backdoor, backroom deals and conversations that are had is off the charts. Yeah. This matches with it.
Yeah, it, like, I'm glad that they got eight sources, but like sometimes you don't need it. Like if somebody came on the air and was like, we're receiving reports that John Adirola has a secret stash of brown sugar cinnamon pop tarts, you wouldn't be like, how many sources do you have on that, buddy? No, you'd probably accept it. But we do have an ex Fox News anchor, so a lot of these are anonymous. Of course, they don't want to get, you know, besmirched any more than Tucker Carlson does. Says, quote, Arena tries to keep a file on everybody. Any talent like Tucker would have a lot of things, other people complaining. They encourage it and then just keep it on file. It's just a classic dirty trick. It's like almost Scientology when you think about it, that they ask for complaints from people and then they log them to use later. Arena is Fox's fighter. She's very good at her job. I gotta believe she's ready to fight Tucker if and when he takes this war publicly. So all of this is a lot of fun, and some of this is gonna come up later on in our discussion. But really fast, if I could just be a bit of a Buzz Killington, based on what they have previewed is included in the file. I don't want to have to say this, but I feel obligated to say, that's it? Really? I mean, we don't have specifics, but disparaging comments about management. Well, so you mean, are you saying that if he makes disparaging comments about management, that you'll release his prior disparaging comments about management? Oh, don't hurt him too much. Don't hurt him too much. Misogynistic comments he's made, that's like 35% of his appeal to his audience. There's a lot of, you know, racism and homophobia in there too, but I think they like that stuff. Allegations that he created a toxic work environment, he created a toxic country. I just don't know how much that's gonna hurt them. Am I wrong? is that what would have to be in that file for right wingers to be like, oh no?
It's got probably, it'd have to be some kind of like, you know, a untoward affair or something disgusting going on between like him and another host. It has to be someone else that's famous, right? Something is happening where you can be like, oh my God. Because the one thing that definitely takes folks down are things like that. Lying, racism, homophobia, sexism, all that stuff is just par for the course. And it seems to be promoted there. But then when it comes to things like that that can embarrass them, I guess publicly, that then becomes the problem. I don't know if they're holding that part, but I doubt that's even happening. But I don't know if they're holding that part to themselves, but that could be the only thing left. This is pretty basic so far.
Yeah, I like that they have it. I like that they're, I guess, ready to fight. We're to be debating going forward, you know, his next steps and all that. I think there's a lot of factors working in opposite directions. But anyway, it'll be like we always say, you know, to quote Dan Evans, let them fight. So you know what? If it happens, it happens. Now, I am willing to just sort of sit back and see. Some people are actively encouraging it. Take a look at this.
I don't know what Tucker's deal is, but I worry that he might still be under contract and they're literally going to be paying him 10, 20, 30 million a year to just sit there and be quiet. We can't afford to have Tucker Carlson's voice silenced for a year and a half. I don't know if Tucker's listening to this, but if he happens to hear it, I beg you, Tucker Carlson, to speak out, break the terms of that contract. We need your voice over the next year and a half to save our country.
Yeah.
And if you get sued by your former employer, we will help create a defense fund to help you fight that lawsuit. We need your voice. We need every American's voice who cares about this country in the next year and a half to save our Constitution and to save our country.
That is fascinating for so many reasons, and we'll try to get through as many as we can. First of all, it is a little bit of an appealing offer, I think, to Tucker Carlson to set up a Trump-style legal defense fund, which is just a bunch of money that conservatives give you that you don't have to spend on legal defense and you just spend on yachts and stuff. That's nice. Getting like $100 million that's just your money is not bad. I honestly, coming out of that video, I feel bad for conservatives. I do. I'm trying in the new year to be a little bit less hostile towards conservatives because while, you know, lots of them are doing a lot of bad things, look at what they have to put up with on a daily basis. Carrie Lake there is saying that I guess America is ruined if Tucker Carlson is silenced in terms of not having this particular time slot in this particular network. She knows, as we all do, that Tucker Carlson absolutely despises Donald Trump. She would take a bullet for Donald Trump. She believes the MAGA movement is the most important thing in American history. He says there's no upside to Donald Trump being president, and he was like pining for Biden to take over. So it's all a grift though. So she ignores that in the same way that Trump is ignoring that. We all know it's true, but they're pretending that it's not. She's saying that without his voice to help get Trump elected, the Constitution is at risk. Do I need to remind people that Trump called to suspend the Constitution over his big lie, saying that parts of it need to be terminated, whatever needs to happen for him to stay in office? So again, spare me your concerns for the Constitution. I'm not buying it. Oh, also, there was this graphic 6, the January 6th insurrection. Kind of seems like if your concern is the Constitution, putting into power the guy who led to the insurrection and getting another high profile media position for the guy who pretended that that was just a tourist thing, I kind of feel like maybe you're being a little bit disingenuous, Carrie Lake, but what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's if nothing else, Carrie Lake is illustrating just how important these pundits that push the propaganda really are. You know, we talk propaganda all the time, just in general, not just us. I mean, like the way people say, oh, that's total propaganda. Yo, it seems like it's one of those things that's said and then it's dispelled and people don't follow it any further. Yo, propaganda is real, and these politicians that benefit from it need it. It's the reason why when OAN was gonna get booted off of DirecTV, and then they said, we have to have it. Kevin McCarthy was in front of podiums talking about how we're gonna fight this. We need that propaganda. That's how they operate. That's how they get their message out to their folks, to lie to their folks, to tell them what it is that they're doing. Carrie Lake went out there and said, break the contract. If you have some kind of NDO, break it. We're gonna help you with the legal funds behind it. It doesn't matter. We need it. She specifically, of course, because she's, you know, still fighting in about the 2020 results, even more so somehow than Donald Trump is. They need this bullhorn. So once he was off, the people who were most upset about this were the folks who relied on people like Tucker Carlson to push their lies and their narratives so they can continue to control folks. They're just not as good at it. They don't have a team of producers to push all the madness. They invite folks on and they have their exchange of ideas. Lastly, though, John, if you get fired, maybe you did something crazy. Maybe you're caught up in some kind of horrific workplace environment. And then you go, yeah, I'm going to have an issue or going legally. I need you guys to send me $100 million. How much money do you really think you'd get from folks after
for me,
all the bad news comes out?
You know, I like to think couple $100, I think I could probably scratch together. What do you think out there? If I was about to be put in jail or something, do you think I could get a couple $100?
All of some provable stuff. Now, if you're completely, if you're the John Iola people know and love and they like so much, it still has the halo over his head and I know better. But still, it's where you guys see John Iola. And then he blows up this whole thing and he's like, I'm going to fight back. I need your money, bro.
Yeah. Well, how about in this example, it would be after a bunch of text messages had come out where I was like, man, Bernie Sanders, he sucks. I hate that guy and his stupid hair. And don't even get me started on his birdie. I hate that bird. Anyway, but anyway, she doesn't want him to go. Okay, I get it. That leaves us with a question. Will he fight? According to her, and it seems accurate, he's going to be paid out the remainder of his contract. He is going to be paid tens of millions of dollars to not even do his easy job anymore. And I know that there are there are conservatives who think that that's totally justified. I mean, after all, it was a contract and they have a point. Yeah. I mean, you could say that he has violated the terms of his contract and maybe they'll say that by producing a hostile work environment and sexually harassing his employees and stuff. We'll see how that shakes out in court because it's probably going to go there. But the idea that he is going to be paid many, many times more over the next 2 years than you will make in multiple lifetimes for not working. I remember how PO'd you conservatives got when briefly during the pandemic, people got unemployment benefits. Well, Tucker Carlson's about to get some enhanced unemployment, I think it's safe to say. We'll see how angry conservatives get. And anyway, I don't know how likely he is to fight. After all, we saw these tweets released in the last day of him with his wife in Florida looking miserable. Oh, you lived, think he's so bothered. But look, he's in a little ATV thingy, which he definitely rides around in all the time. And then they do this little zoom in, and that is just a normal screenshot of just a person going about their day. It's not staged. Stop saying it's staged. Why are you such cynics? Why are you all assuming that he briefly took a little little roundabout of the property so that the paparazzi would take a few photos? I mean, after all, he's not saying anything about any of this. He's hiding from the media and he's definitely devastated, but he's just having fun. He's just happy, JR.
Can we see that second picture again? Okay, so which graphic is with the zoomed in version? If there's never been a picture that you can hear more than that one, it's definitely him doing that fake ass laugh. Which, by the way, it's exactly what it
is. I love this vehicle. That's all it is. That's all it is. By the way, look, relationships are complicated. I understand that. I'm in one. And it's not my place or anyone's place to judge any of these. But she also knows what he's alleged to have done. She knows who he is. She knows what he thinks about women. This is not about her. I honestly don't even know her name. I don't care. I don't care who his wife is. I just find it fascinating that any of these right-wing guys are able to get anyone to spend even 5 minutes with them. I mean, plenty of them don't. Believe me, they often complain about that on their shows. But she knows what he thinks about women. How contingent and transitory his approval or willingness to tolerate women in politics, in the workforce, what he says about them when he thinks he's safe. It's just amazing to me. I just do not understand that. If I was alleged to have done these things, I would be thrown out on my ass, and justifiably so. But I guess there's a lot of money on the line, or I don't know, maybe you convince yourself that you know him better. It's the fake news media. Or we should remember, and also honestly, to be fair, until I add a caveat, if I ended there, everything that I've just said is fairly wildly misogynistic, because it assumes that right-wing men are awful and right-wing women, especially white women, can't be. And we know that that is not true. Mm-hmm. Women are as capable of homophobia and racism and internalized misogyny and support for white supremacy as any of these disgusting what passes for men on the right. So again, don't know her. She might be lovely, but it's just weird to ride in that cart with him, hand on his leg as he's facing this Abby Grossberg lawsuit. It's just amazing the places we end up in politics sometimes.
Yeah, it's like Russell Crowe's wife getting mad at him for doing a scene with another woman or something. They're actors. So no, she's not getting mad at him. He comes home and goes, yeah, it was a tough day of me lying on air all day, dear. Let's go back to talking normal, because all that stuff I was seeing on air is BS. That's how this works. They understand who's the what they're actually doing, and the money's raking in. He's a good actor.
Yeah. Well, one thing he might be briefly happy about, and maybe that's why we got the is apparently, at least on the first day of the temporary replacement for Tucker Carlson, it didn't go so great in terms of the ratings. Brian Kilmeade did his best, as he always does, and it was something like a 37% drop. Which is a lot, but also I guess I would have bet it would drop more. Now bear in mind, that's day one. You would expect, I think, this is fair, right? That's the worst it'll be for them. And now they try to rebuild. Like, there's a lot of debates out there about, is Tucker Carlson actually the thing? Or is it just the 8 p.m. slot on Fox? We're gonna find out together. Mm. Can you just put a hefty bag filled with like toxic masculinity and homophobia in that chair at 8 p.m. and get 2 million viewers a night? We're gonna find out, because they employ several. Anyway, let's go briefly into this. Do we? No, I don't think there's time. We got too much to talk about. We're gonna take our first break and come back. There's a lot more. So hold on, we were talking about the possibility of me appearing on Big News Wednesday, and Skittlebutt Dragon Rasp says, do it on a Wednesday so John has to work like 30 hours. Well, just to be clear, it might be too much show, but it doesn't extend the length of the day. It doesn't add extra hours. I don't have a time turner. Anyway, and also I noticed Jeremy says Dakota Kai stan here. Love to see the stands rising up in the chat. Most people have no idea what any of that meant. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into a bit of fun, starting with this.
The top Democrats don't want a debate with Joe on the stage. I saw yesterday that Donald Trump on Truth Social said, I see that everybody is talking about the Republican debates, but nobody got my approval or the approval of the campaign, Trump campaign, before announcing them. Did you talk to him about the debates? Is he in, or is this just what he does? He did this in 2016.
Working the refs.
Every campaign and every candidate is going to have to make a decision. Do I want to participate? He's going to have to make that decision. I think he'll do it. And President Trump never shies away from a debate. And he did very well on debate stage in 2020.
He does. He skipped hours in 2016.
He did.
That's amazing. Oh my God. Wait. This is why I sometimes say, is Brian Kilmeade the best on Fox News? I understand the bar might be buried deep beneath the surface of the earth, but he pushed back vigorously. Now, granted, he pushed back because they had sort of like Trump had kind of besmirched him and Fox and Friends and all that by not appearing. But she said the absurd thing. He'd never shy from a debate. He constantly shies from debate. So I'm glad that Brian Kilmeade pushed back, and she had to admit that he did. To be fair, they're having this back and forth about whether he's going to appear, and we never know until the debate is over, because sometimes he comes, sometimes he doesn't. But here is what set it off. He bleated, I see that everybody is talking about the Republican capital D debates, but nobody got my approval or the approval of the Trump campaign before announcing them. When you're leading by seemingly insurmountable numbers and you have hostile capital N networks with angry Trump and MAGA hating anchors asking the questions, why subject yourself to being libeled and abused? Also, the second debate is being held at the Reagan Library, the chairman of which is, amazingly, Fred Ryan, publisher of the Washington Post. No. So that's, look, that's pretty amazing. Look at the entitlement in that. So is he wrong that he's leading the polls? No, he is leading the polls. And assuming that he doesn't end up in the slammer, he will probably win. But the idea that they have to get his personal approval before they can have general debates that multiple people are invited to, that is pretty amazing. This dude, man, he is full of himself. JR, what do you think?
He's really trying to find a way to come up with these nefarious connections. And this is what happened in politics in general. But when you really have to avoid everything, because honestly, if you peel back the layers and you give this in normal terms of a human being, then he's basically saying, like, I'm leading. I don't want to have to take on any challenges. I don't want to have to listen to anyone come back and refute maybe some of the things that I say, to talk about the problems that I've had, to talk about my failures, any of that stuff. That's what happens in a debate, Donnie. It's the reasons why they have it, so they can pick you apart. And then you can maybe do the same to them. And we find who it is that we'd rather have, we being these Republicans that are watching this. But on the back end of that statement from Truth Social, the dude's talking about how this second debate with the Reagan Library. And the chairman of that library is Fred Ryan, publisher of the Washington Post. What does the chairman of a specific location where this thing would happen have anything to do with who asked the questions and how they ask those questions? Is the chairman of a library gonna walk out and go, okay, you guys, Fox News, you guys are setting up for this, but I'm the chairman of this building, and you guys can do what I say. It doesn't make any sense. But as long as you connect, this guy's connected to the Washington Post, and he also is the chairman of this library. Who cares? Who cares? The next question is always, so what does that mean? It's always the same questions. I've said a million times, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And do it even like earnestly. Really? Oh my God. Fred Ryan, he's also connected to the Washington Post. What is it that he can do as the chairman of the library that's going to screw you over?
Like, yeah.
I really would like to know that answer, because apparently there's something.
And even if there was, his complete lack of knowledge or preparedness is the thing that's gonna screw him over in debate. That's always what screwed him over. Finding some tangential connection that gets you out of it is cover. It's cowardice masquerading as strength. It's like, I'm not going to KFC. I don't trust Colonel Sanders. The colonels are almost as bad as the generals. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with the chicken, you idiot.
The generals have never beaten the Harlem Globetrotters, ever.
This is getting too complicated even for me.
Isn't that what they're called, the Washington Generals? Yeah.
It is, it is. So to the conservatives out there, because I have more personal empathy for the difficult position you've been put in by your media and your politicians than anyone else in America. This is him running scared. And I know that it might shock you to hear that, because it sounds like he's throwing his weight around. He gets to decide if there should be a debate or whatever. That's what being an alpha is. No, no, saying that there are conditions under which you're going to run scared from a debate is not what being an alpha is. And I'm not even saying like what an alpha should be, if the term has any value whatsoever. I mean, like the stupid old school toxic conservative version of being an alpha. This isn't even that. Here's what you say. Yeah, I don't care where the debate is, when the debate is, how many debates there are. I'll be there. And you know what? I'm probably gonna be alone, because I don't think anyone is gonna even be willing to stand against me. That's what you say if you're confident, you scaredy pants. But instead, he is making it so that if old Puddin' Fingers wants to say that Trump is too much of a little weenie to debate him, he's now got the comments to point to, and people are taking what he said and running with it. Republicans Against Trumpism, who I assume is a legit organization, they have a blue check, so I guess they must be, say alpha male Donnie is scared of debates, coward. The Foo ties it in with another story we've already talked about, saying, call me crazy, but the fact that the two leading candidates don't think they should have to debate during the primaries to earn their spots seems like a giant red flag. Guess I'm old fashioned. Yeah, maybe old fashioned, but also right. I mean, the fact that Trump is running scared, Biden doesn't even have to bleat about it. He can just have the DNC imply, it's not a finalized thing, but strongly imply that there are not going to be debates, even though there are multiple announced candidates already, including some serious ones. So look, I think that the choice of president is a serious thing. We are often let down in a million different ways by those individuals as well as the parties. But at the very least, as little utility as most debates tend to have in the modern form because of format and how evasive they are, we at least deserve a chance for them to be questioned openly. And now it doesn't look like we're gonna have them in the primary potentially. And God only knows during the general, Trump was talking last time about not doing them. Now, he did in the end retreat from even that position and he did debate Biden twice, but he's now gonna be even older and more pathetic than he was back then. Maybe we won't even get that. It's possible we will not have a single debate between now and the election, JR.
What's sad, man, is DeSantis, you said he has an opportunity to label him as this, this, and that. We saw a couple of examples of those labels. None of those would come for Ron DeSantis. He's still scared, no matter what it is. He can't say it, he can't do it. If he does, fine, may I be proven wrong at that point, but we'll see how it is that he does it. He's being handled, and as well as he's afraid of things. He's covering up his travel. He wants to make sure people don't know who's visiting, all this stuff. He's trying to be the most hidden candidate ever. And if you remember just a cycle or two back, they're always talking about how, look at these hidden candidates. Look at, they're not gonna show us what they're doing here and there. How come you're not mad about that now? Still, this guy does not want anything about him in any aspect of his life to be exposed as he runs for effing president of the United States. So I don't see Ron DeSantis saying or doing much. And it's another maybe reason why Donald Trump can say things like this very confidently, because he still has a grip on the entire party by the, that stuff.
Is it not weird that if you were going to have two candidates who ran last time, just decide, no, I'm just the person, just shut up, just accept it, that's what it's gonna be, that at least in that hypothetical, shouldn't they be popular? Like if we're gonna totally forego all of the value that a primary can bring, and I think it's important in a government system that sometimes calls itself a democracy, but for both of them to be like I'm not talking about like generally popular. I mean amongst their own party, Trump is more popular than DeSantis right now, but plenty of Republicans don't want him to run again. Biden is about as popular in terms of his overall approval rating as Trump was at the end of his term, but lots of Democrats don't want him to run again. It's just weird that you get stuck with these two people that generate so little enthusiasm, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, once Joe Manchin gets involved, then they'll have the debate because they listen to everything Joe Manchin wants and says. As soon as he raises his hand, he's like, oh, I have something to say. Oh, let's listen to Joe Manchin, he's the centrist candidate. Yeah.
Honestly, then just have Marianne Williamson versus Joe Manchin or whatever. Biden can stay at home or whatever, he can go to the pool. He drive around his Corvette and we'll have them debate. Anyway, with that said, why don't we move to very different news? It is looking like Clarence Thomas isn't the only Supreme Court justice hiding some significant conflicts of interest. Take a look at this spicy little nugget in the news. It involves Neil Gorsuch, who apparently also was making some high dollar deals, very similar to Clarence Thomas, involving selling real estate to people who regularly have business before the Supreme Court. So we now know that he made as much as $500,000 from a real estate sale back in 2017, but didn't disclose the identity of the buyer. And it is not difficult to figure out why. He's the chief executive of a law firm with extensive business before the Supreme Court. So what basically happened is you have this 3,000 square foot log home on the Colorado River. Sounds delightful. Doesn't it sound great to be rich sometimes? Anyway, he and his wife closed on the house a month later, paying $1.825 million. Gorsuch had a 20% stake in that real estate. So we expect that he made between $250,000 from the sale. The box for the identity of the purchaser was left blank. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe it was just a little oopsie daisy, or maybe it was on purpose because he knew how bad that would look. Now, Brian Duffy, the chief executive, says, I don't know Gorsuch. I've never met him. I've never spoken to him. But that doesn't mean that they haven't interacted, at least indirectly. Since the sale, Greenberg has been involved, that's the company, has been involved in at least 22 cases before or presented to the court. You have cases in which Greenberg filed amicus briefs or represented parties. In the 12 cases where Gorsuch's opinion is recorded, he sided with Greenberg clients 8 times and against them 4 times. So it's not 100% lock, but it's better than random chance. It's better than 50-50. And maybe none of the real estate stuff, maybe the $500,000 that he made off of that had no effect whatsoever. Maybe he wasn't given any reason to believe that there would be future money to be made in real estate cases. But for a regular person, we might expect that potentially $500,000 being transferred would at least pique a person's interest. Jared, what do you think?
Well, yeah, look at this. It keeps happening. We talked about Clarence Thomas before, and then the fact that back and forth with how much he's paid for trips and that, and they didn't do anything about it then. They didn't look into any kind of investigative or ethics complaints about it then. Maybe they're getting there. Who knows? But as these things keep, this dominoes keep falling, I don't think we can expect much anything else except for, oh, I didn't know. Oh, never heard of that guy. Oh, it was someone else was in charge of that. Or it has nothing to do with the court. That was also said about Clarence Thomas's potential ethics violations as well, which then we found out they had a bunch of influence on who's getting on the court, which type of folks are working it here and there. They always have their hands in things. Do you really think multimillionaires and billionaires have no idea where their money's going or why it's going there? There's reasons why they've accumulated all this money, because they use it to make more of it, or they use it to then buy off certain folks who can then benefit them even further. They're not stupid when it comes to how much money they've gotten, how they use it. That's the whole reason that they have it. So do we really gonna believe that these folks that go, oh, I have no idea, I just left this form incomplete for the first time ever on forms because I just didn't know what I was doing? Yo, that's incompetence. Why are you on the court? You can't finish a form. You don't know who you were talking to with your business contacts. Yo, it's either incompetence or it's an unethical, and it's these violations of these types of rules. Either way it goes, there's nothing good about this. It just hopes enough people will say, oh, he didn't know, I'll move on. Because you want to hear that. It's specifically based off of who it is that's gonna support this guy. But yo, run a full ethics investigation on all of them, because I know that'll be the next talking point. Is, well, what happens if Sonia Sotomayor is doing it? Get her too. Clear the whole damn place out and start with some actual ethical justices. How about that? Because none of these folks are related to me. I'm not benefiting from them financially or talking to them late at night on the phone and be like, so how are things going, Sonia? No. If any of them are corrupt, get all of them. But let's start with the ones that have been exposed already. How about that?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, Sotomayor is not coming to my game nights. Doesn't even respond to the DMs. So I don't care. By the way, I'll go a step further. I hope that one of the Dems did something like this, because it appears to be the only hope we have that something actually happened in terms of ethics. I hope that they are wildly corrupt in the same way, so that maybe something will be done. I'm gonna say something crazy, and I understand that this is not the system we have, and it seems incomprehensible that it could ever be the system that we have. Why do we take as a given that judges, especially Supreme Court justices, should be able to be rich in the first place? Like, I don't just mean like, why don't they have some ethical guidelines like they have in even like elected office in terms of who they can deal with? Why are they able to make millions of dollars in real estate? With great power comes great responsibility, but apparently no limitations whatsoever. By the way, I would go way beyond the justices. Why are our senators and presidents able to be incredibly wealthy too? We make certain expectations of these people when they're elected or given their positions. We expect that they're gonna show up to vote every once in a while. We expect these sorts of things. We expect they're gonna go to debates. We can't expect that something akin to, I'm not talking about a vow of poverty, but a vow of normalcy, so that at least we know that their decisions are not being explicitly, or perhaps have to be dug into know how explicit, being influenced by their either in the moment expectations of wealth or their eventual expectations of wealth. It'll never happen. We'll never have anything like that. But do you doubt for a second that that wouldn't produce better outcomes for people in terms of legislation and judicial opinions?
John, before the NIL deal started with college athletics and NCAA, there was limitations on what college athletes could make as far as or donations. The most strict rules in place to make sure these kids aren't getting any outside money or that they're not being recruited illegally and all that stuff. It was a tight ship. And we can't do this with our justices. Yo, we got people that say, yo, these fast food companies, they should be paying folks minimum wage because it's only teenagers, and teenagers can't make any. Why can't a 17-year-old make tons of money? I don't care if a 17-year-old is worth it and makes tons of money working at McDonald's or anywhere else. But we have this assumption that some folks are supposed to have limits on their income. But when it comes to people who have unlimited amounts of income already, give them more.
Yeah, that is a great point. Like, you end up in a position where we have higher ethical obligations for beach volleyball players than Supreme Court justices. What the hell is going on? With that said, we need to take a break, but we'll be back. Senator Rick Scott wants you to believe that he takes school shootings seriously, and he has a seriously bizarre idea for what we should do to protect kids. He wants to put armed officials in every school. He calls it the School Guardian Act. But up until this point, you're probably thinking, well, lots of Republicans say that. Yes, but Senator Rick Scott wants to have his cake and eat it too. Not only is he gonna put armed officials in schools, he's gonna do it and pay for it by taking away all of the money they gave to the IRS to actually start looking into elite tax evasion. Isn't that amazing? The two have nothing whatsoever to do with each other, but why not get everything you want with one piece of legislation? So this act that he's putting forward would divert $80 billion designated for the IRS to a national grant program that would provide one or more full-time armed officers in every K-12 school across the country, of which there are 98,000 public ones and 30,000 private ones. If it is gonna cost $80 billion, at a certain point, if it's that level of national security risk, can we just use the military that we're already paying hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year on? I don't actually want that, just to be clear. But it is amazing that he's come up with a plan that requires not just the same amount of money as has been designated to fund the IRS so it can do its job, but that they will take the literal money that was given to the IRS. If you wanted to use kids as a human shield to protect the rich from their tax obligations, I don't know that you could come up with a more explicit way to do it. What do you think, JR?
You know, it mirrors another story, and I had to try and remember who it was that did it. It was Senator Mike Rounds, and he was talking similar things. You want to fortify these schools, we need to arm them and make sure there's two SROs at every door. We're going to limit it down to one door, by the way, and then shut down all windows and make sure there's boards on those as well. It's going to cost tons of money, Mike. And he said, we have a bunch of money that's set aside already for things like solar energy and maybe new energy that can be implemented in some of these schools, which of course hasn't across the country. But we can take that money because who cares about that? So it has this backdoor room deal of then, of course, then continue to benefit those companies that don't work in the solar industry, but work in the traditional old school fossil fuel industry, and we can eliminate those other things. So after things are already passed, money's already allocated for these types of things, let's shift it again and use another tragedy like school shootings to then push more money to these same folks that pay us to do it. And you think people are too stupid to get it. I guess it's either that or people don't have time to pay attention to the way that they're moving money around. So similarly, this is how these things operate. And they'll never say it in broad daylight. Other opponents of theirs, political opponents, won't point this out for some reason. But enough people should know this is how these types of politicians work. They use every possible avenue to take money from useful things and then go into these, by the way, still unattainable type of projects. Because can they really do this across the country? Will they be able to take this money, reallocate it and change it and make sure that their illegal activities continue to be covered up? No, because it'll only go to the ones that they really want it to, because it's still not enough. Every year, are we gonna do it every year? Because it costs tens of millions of dollars every year for this type of stuff.
Yeah, I think you landed on it with they think that people are stupid. Well, stupid, not necessarily stupid, but purposefully ignorant. They have been, the necessary information has been hidden from them. So what they think about that $80 billion for the IRS has been intentionally poisoned by some of the wealthiest people in media. There are many poor conservatives who believe that the IRS is gonna show up at their door with assault rifles to take back 10 bucks or something. That's not why the IRS was defunded in the first place. The idea that you could so successfully convince people that they're gonna be the targets rather than the rich, when those people already say that they're incredibly suspicious of the elites and the deep state and everything. Who do you think has been protected by the IRS being defunded? People who in some cases don't even pay income tax directly, or people with incredibly complex business empires and income in the hundreds of millions of dollars who do not wanna ever cross paths with the IRS. And that's why there was so much work being done, mostly by the right, but in some cases not even, to befuddle people about why exactly the IRS thing is going. It also, as you point out, serves the purpose of completely distracting from actual efforts to stop these shootings from happening. My goal, and maybe I'm crazy, isn't just to provide a brief like roadblock for a mass shooter, but to stop them from being mass shooters in the first place by getting them help where it's necessary and stopping them from getting the deadly military weapons that they need to commit these acts of mass violence in the first place. Now, I'm gonna give you just a couple of quotes. Actually, we gotta wrap up very soon, but Rick Scott says, the recent shooting of innocent children and educators in Nashville showed us that we need to do better to keep our schools safe. And that starts by bringing effective ideas to every school. These brave individuals are willing and able to step up and protect our kids and teachers from those who wish to do them harm. He is very interested in people stepping up to protect others from harm, but it ain't kids from AR-15s. It's the wealthy from having to pay the taxes that they're due, and that's it. There was a lot more to get to, but I don't think we have time. We gotta get to this because this is important news as well. You might already know this, but if you don't, here is a massive, but not in any way surprising injustice. Miles Cosgrove, who was fired back in as a result of the killing of Breonna Taylor back in 2020, had been fired from the Louisville Metro Police Department, was hired by another one, Carroll County Sheriff's Department, as a deputy. Here is Miles Cosgrove. This is the individual who's gonna be back on the job. And he's been massively inconvenienced by the experience. After all, as you can see from this map, he has to work 50 miles down the road. That's it. This is exactly what we have talked about for multiple years. They commit a totally needless, horrendous tragedy. And then a couple towns down, they just get hired to do it again. And Chief Deputy Sheriff Rob Miller, who helped to facilitate this, says, "We think he'll help reduce the flow of drugs in our area and reduce property crimes. We felt like he was a good candidate to help us in our county." Well, which type of property crimes? Because I personally think that wildly shooting up apartments is itself a property crime, and he seems to have a pretty checkered past when it comes to that. But bear in mind that back in Louisville, March 13th, 2020, Cosgrove and two other officers fired shots at Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend Kenneth Walker when officers executed a no-knock raid on Walker's home. Taylor and Walker were in bed at the time, and Walker, who thought someone was breaking in because that's what they were doing, fired a shot that hit one officer, at which point officers fired back dozens of times. Cosgrove himself shot 16 times. One hit and killed Breonna Taylor. Maybe if he had had minimal self-control and only fired a few times randomly into a building where he has no idea who he was gonna hit, then maybe Breonna Taylor would still be alive. But no, when he was briefly worried for his life, he decided to shoot everything he had into a building that he knew nothing about. Now he's gonna have another opportunity since he's gonna be back on the force. What do you think, JR?
The quote was, "We think he'll help reduce the flow of drugs in our area and reduce property crimes." They ran up in that house with Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend sleeping, raiding it, I assume for, I can't remember exactly the details of their BS excuse, for the reasons of a raid or a warrant that they got nefariously for probably some like drugs or something like that. What is it about his background with what he's been fired over would make you have any confidence in him doing something right on that same topic that he screwed up and his partner screwed up that first time? It doesn't. They're just making stuff up. What they want is just another cop who's experienced to do more of the same foot soldier work on the ground, harassing and terrorizing citizens. That's the bottom line. We need more numbers of people because we need more of our soldiers on the streets.
Like, think about how crazy this is. There's no one else that could do this job. Apparently, there is no one who is qualified in terms of having been trained to be a sheriff and hasn't needlessly murdered anyone. Apparently, there's nobody. By the way, this guy has already shown that he potentially brings tons of negative PR as well as court cases against the people he works for. Is this not like wildly financially irresponsible? Obviously it is. They don't care. They chose this guy on purpose because of what he did. But there should be pushback from elected officials in the area. This is likely to result in massive court cases against them when he once again does what he's already shown he's gonna do. By the way, the idea that like he'll help reduce the flow of drugs, reduce property crimes, if we were ranking crimes, where would you put drugs, property crimes, wildly firing into a building and murdering someone. If you were to rank those, I'll leave you with that. That's unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of our show. Thank you, everyone. There's much more to come in the aftermath, though, so don't go anywhere. Jaron will be back for more Big News Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.